Okay, we fell behind yesterday, so we're all the way on the top of Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We were going through the discussion of whether of what the Mishnah meant when it said that if the get is karov la, she's megureshes, and if the get is karov lo, that she's ena megureshes, and if it's mechzal mechza, that it's a suffix whether she's megureshes, that she's considered megureshes ve'ena megureshes. So the Gemara suggested a couple of possibilities. Now the Gemara suggests a little bit further. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, four lines from the top of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, we'll try to make up some ground. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, karov la shaninu afilu mea ama, v'karov lo shaninu afilu mea ama. Closer to one or the other, doesn't have to be within a certain distance. Even if it's 100 amos away from her, as long as it's closer to her than it is to him, that's called karov la. Even if it's 100 amos away from him, if it's closer to him than it is to her, that's considered karov lo. So says the Gemara, hechi dami mechzal mechza. What then would be a case of mechzal mechza? Amar Rav Shemen bar Abba, the didim mefarshel minei de Rabbi Yochanan, hu yachal l'shamro v'hi eno yachal l'shamro zehu karov lo. If he's able to watch over it to protect it, and she's unable to protect it, that's considered to be karov lo. That's considered to be closer to him. He yachal l'shamro v'hu eno yachal l'shamro. If she's able to protect it, and he's unable to protect it, zehu karov lo. That's considered to be closer to her, because she has the ability to watch it and protect it. Shneim yicholin l'shomro, shneim ein yicholin, but if both of them are either able to protect it, or both of them are unable to protect it, zel mechzal mechza. That's considered mechzal mechza. That's considered a suffek megreshes. Now Tosfos points out, what does it mean? Shneim ein yicholin l'shomro. Two of them, neither of them are able to protect it. Tosfos points out, it means that neither of them are able to protect it on their own. Shneim pirush ein yicholin l'shomro kalechel levado. Tosfos says el shneim yachad. However, the two of them together somehow, as teamwork, they can protect it together. Just that neither of them would be able to protect it on their own. Because if we were to take it literally, that they were, it was totally left totally unprotected, says Tosos, avalim ein yichol nisham klal, pshita de ein megureshes klal kalikur. Then it would be obvious that she's not megureshes. If the get was just thrown into some completely unprotected place, it would be obvious that she's not megureshes. Where does the Gemara have to teach me a chiddush that she's suffik megureshes? If it's put in a place where it is protected, but neither of them can protect it on their own, that's considered suffik megureshes. Amru Rabban kamed Rabbi Yochanan mishmed Rabbi Yonasan hachi. So the Rabbanan said in front of Rabbi Yochanan this pshat in the name of Rabbi Yonasan. So Amar, Rabbi Yonasan responded, Yadin chavrin. Sorry, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Yadin chavrin bavloi lefrushe kiaytaima. Our Babylonian friends are very good at explaining the Mishnah. And Rashi points out, Rabbi Yonasan came from Bavel and went to Eretz Yisrael. So he was the Babylonian. So Rabbi Yochanan said, good, the people in Bavel seem to know what they're talking about. Tani namihachi, Rabbi Lazar Omer, kol shu karov la milo, uba kele v'natlo ena megureshes. That any time the get is closer to her than it is to him, and then a dog comes and takes it, she's not megureshes. So Frekta Gemara, we can't take that at face value, such a statement at face value. He throws her the get, it gets closer to her, and you're going to say, then a dog takes it, it's ena megureshes. What? After you throw her the get, she has to watch it forever in order for the gerushin to be chal. Obviously, once the gerushin is chal, it's chal, and dogs could eat it all they want. The gerushin already happened. So what are we talking about exactly when we say you throw it and it's closer to her that she's einam agreshes? This is what it means to say. Kol shekarov la milo. Anytime it's closer to her than it is to him. Ve'ilu ba kelev enatlo. Hu yachal l'shamro. Ve'ena yachal l'shamro. And if a dog were to come and take it, she'd be able... if a dog would come and take it, he would be able to protect it from the dog, but she is unable to protect it from the dog. That's a case where ena megureshes. It's not considered to be karov la if she's unable to afford any protection to the get. Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, shinna kedei shetashuach v'titlenu. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, you should know the real halacha is she should only be considered megureshes if it's literally within her grasp, if she'd be able to bend down and pick it up. And even having said that, v'at lo tavid uvda ad'mata gita liyada, we should never consider her vade megureshes until the get actually goes into her hand. We shouldn't take anything short of that. Even having the get right next to her, where she's able to bend down and pick it up, and obviously she's able to protect it, we shouldn't rely on that. We should always demand that the get be placed in her hand. Amalei of Mordechai Ravashi, Hava Uvda, there was actually a Maisa that happened like this, where Rashi explains, Shazarku Karovla Umeis, where the guy threw it Karovla, he threw it close to her, and the guy died, the husband died, the Atzruchu Chalitza, and the Rabbanan required that she do Chalitza. We did not consider her to be Megureshes, because we would not rely on anything short of the get being put in her hand, even though Me'ikra Dine Nechinami, it should work with being Karovla. Okay, the Mishnah said V'chein Linyan Kiddushin, this whole chiluk of Karovla, that same chiluk exists in the world of Kiddushin. Amr Rabbi Asiyam Rabbi Yochanan Legitin Amr Vlo L'davar Acher. Rabbi Asiyam Rabbi Yochanan says that the whole idea of Karovla was only set for Gittin and not for anything else. Eser Rabbi Rabbi V'chein Linyan Kiddushin. So I asked Rabbi Abba Rabbi Asi, but the Mishnah said that this distinction exists in the world of Kiddushin as well. That it's not only a din in Gittin, that the same halacha applies to Kiddushin. So it's not shiny hasam duchsev yatzav ahaisa. When we say that it applies only to Gittin and to nothing else, obviously Kiddushin is included within the world of Gittin, because Gittin and Kiddushin are essentially the same parasha. The Torah has a hekish where it compares the yatzav to vahaisa, where it compares a man getting rid of his wife to vahaisa, to a man marrying a woman, and therefore the rules transfer from one to the other, from Gittin to Kiddushin. So obviously when we say that it applies only to Gittin, we mean only to Gittin and Kiddushin, but nowhere beyond Gittin and Kiddushin. Frakta Gemara, really? Look weiter in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah then applies that same principle of Karov Lo and Karov La, that same idea, to a chov. If I tell you to throw me a chov that you owe me, and it lands closer to me, so then you've already paid me back. If it lands closer to you, you have not yet paid me back, and if it gets destroyed at this point, you're going to need to pay me back again. And if it's mechza al mechza, so we split the money, it's mamana mutl b'safik, and we're going to split the money. So don't you see that the same idea applies not only to Gittin, not only to Kiddushin, but even by dinim mamanis? So says Imerno, hachamay askinan, over there, da amale zrokli chov vivitipater. Now over there the case is, I said to you, throw me my chov and you'll be pater. Meaning I made a deal with you that even though technically, me'ikra adin, when you pay me back money, you should have to put it in my hand, you should have to make sure I actually have it. But I said, you can throw it to me and that will be good enough. So I'm exempting you, I'm being mochel on receiving it in my hand. That's why it works over there. But if that's the case, what's the chiddush? Of course I could be mochel the entire chov if I want. So of course I could be mochel the requirement of you giving it directly to me and tell you that you can throw it to me. Tosfos points out the Gemara should have asked a better kasha. What did we say? We didn't say that as soon as you throw it, it automatically works. We said if you throw it and it lands closer to me, it works. If you throw it and it lands closer to you, it doesn't work. Fractosos, if I told you, just throw it and you'll be putter, just throw it and that's all you need to do, Fractosos, then even if it lands closer to you, you should have done your job. I never said just throw it and make sure it lands close to me. I said throw it. So as soon as you throw it, who cares who it lands closer to? Your job should be considered to be done as soon as you throw it. That's so Zibra Masul Ihachi Mailamemra. He says, Nimtamar Adrabi, Tikshile Amai Karov Lova Chayev Lova. Kivanamar Zrok Chovi Viti Pater, Karov Lova Namili Pater. It doesn't matter who it lands closer to. Once I tell you you're going to be Pater, you should be Pater regardless. So he says, Tells the Yeshlomer, the Mairi Mistama, the Mefraish, the Yuzuk, the Makam Shuchal, the Shamrahu. No, we're talking about where I said, throw it to me in a way that you throw it in, that you throw it to a place where I'll be able to protect it, obviously. I'm not saying throw it and you just drop it right next to you and I'm 100 yards away where there's no chance that I'm going to be able to protect it. Obviously I meant throw it to me in a way that I'll be able to protect it. But either way, the Gemara's kasha is a good kasha. What's the chiddush? If I tell you throw it to me and that's good enough and I'm not going to demand anything else of you, and you throw it to me and it lands right near me where I'm able to protect it, of course that's called paying back. What's the chiddush? So says Gemara, lo tzricha da amar leizrok li chavi b'taras gittin. Now the case is where I said throw it to me and we'll follow get rules. We'll follow normal get rules. Even though this is a chov, we're talking about dinim mamonis over here, and you're throwing me a check, you're throwing me money, still I made the deal with you in advance that we'll follow the rules of Gittin. That's why it's going to work in that case. So frek the Gemara again, v'akati mai lememra. What's the chiddush? If we know what the rules are by get, that there's a din of karov lo, and we know there's a din of mechza al-mechza by get, and I made a deal with the dinim amnus that will follow the get rules. Of course, it's going to follow those rules. So says in word, no mal detem matziyam le mashlanim bach. Kamash Mulan. I might have thought that the guy could say, come on, who follows get rules when you're paying back chavos, that I was just joking around with you, so Kamash Mulan, that you can't say such a thing. If you say, make a deal that you're going to follow the rules of Gittin, you follow the rules of Gittin. Amrav Chissa, get biyado, mashicha biyado. If the woman is holding on to the get, and the man is holding on to a rope that's attached to the get, im yachol lenatko lavio atzlo enim agreshes. If the man is able to yank the rope and pull the get back, then she's not megureshes. V'im lav, but if he's unable to do so, megureshes, then she is megureshes. If he's unable to pull it back, she's megureshes. My time, why if he's able to pull it back, is she not megureshes? Isn't she holding it in her hand? Why shouldn't it be not megureshes? Being on krisos faleka, because you need a sense of krisos, a sense of cutting her off entirely, and it seems like he's still holding on, literally. He's still holding on at the other end, so there's not a total krisos, and therefore it's not a valid form of get. Tosos over here, miyachol enatko lavio, Tosos over here, a very important Tosos actually, two parts to it. First part of Tosos says, Nira de lo mayri kshayse yada psucha, lachash nasna get biyada kaftsa yada. We're not talking about a case where he put it on her hand was open, and then after it landed on her hand, she closes her hand, and he's holding onto the rope at the other end. Why? Dim kain afilu ein yachol lahavio etzlo, because if that were the case that we're talking about, even if he's unable to pull it back once she closes her hand, the get should not be a good get. Why not? Because the get was initially placed on her flat hand, and at that point, when the get was given to her, the husband definitely did have the ability to pull the get back. And that was the key moment. That was the Shas Nesina. A second later, she closed her hand, and the husband no longer has the ability to pull it back. But it's too late. The Nesina already happened. That's her doing. That's not the husband's doing. The husband needs to do the Maisa Nesina. When she closes her hand afterwards, that's her own doing. That's like a case where a woman just picks her get up off the ground, and the husband never actually gives it to her, where it's not going to be a valid get. So what's the case over here? What case are we talking about over here in our Gemara? We're talking about a case where her hand was already closed. And he stuffed the get into her closed, clenched hand. If he stuck it in so tightly into her clenched hand, that to the extent that he's unable to pull it out of her clenched hand, that's the case where she's going to be Megureshes. But it can't be where you put it in her hand and then she clenches her hand. It has to be that at the moment of the Nesina, the get was already totally within her control and the husband was unable to pull it back. Rabbi Natam says, however, I have a different pshat. Rabbi Natam Farish, the Biyad Psuch Ayri, Ayri Shapir, we can really be talking about where he puts it into her open hand. What does it mean he's unable to pull it back then? What do you mean? It can't be that she closes her hand and then and that's why he's unable to pull it back, because of the reasons we said. Because that's not at the Shas Nesina. So what does it mean he's unable to pull it back? If her hand is open, how could he be unable to pull it back? So he says, the get is being held together by the string that he's holding onto is a thin little string, and the get is a very heavy get. He wrote the get on a very heavy thing. So if he were to try to pull it back, it's not that she's holding on to it. She's not. It's just resting on her hand. The reason why he can't pull it back is if he pulls that string, the string will snap. It won't come back to him. That's what it means, Enu Yachla Vio Etzlo. That's the case that the Gemara is talking about. So says Tosos, based on this Gemara, Vitzarech Lizar Shete Yadi Isha Psucha Ad Sheiniach Kola Get Biyada. That's why when it comes to giving a get, it's very important that the woman keep her hand open until the entire get is in her hand. Dim tikpots yada ba'od shabal oches brosh haget biyado lavi get. Because if a woman, this is actually done when we do a get, if a woman were to close her hand while the baal is still holding on to the other end of the get, there's a chashash that it's not going to be a good get. Davi kamo get biyado mashicha biyado, because that's similar to the case where he's able to pull it back. Meaning if at the shas nesina, when it's in her hand, he's able to pull it back. So that's going to be a problem. So what she has to do is keep her hand open, let him put the get entirely in her hand. We fold it up in such a way that the entire get fits in her hand. So he puts the get in her hand. The husband pulls his hand away, and then she closes her hand. This is what we do when we do gittin. So this is an important halacha that's derived from this gemara. Okay. Anyway, so it says gemara vayter. Amar Rav Yehuda, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda, he say from the bottom of Ayin Chesam Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda, he say yada asuya ki katapras vizarkula. If her hand was put on a slant, it was resting on a slant, and he threw it to her. Afal pi shegia get liyada in imagreshes. Even if it goes to her hand, she's not going to be imagreshes. Obviously, we're assuming that the reason it's not going to work is because it falls to the ground. But frek the Gemara, so what? It falls to the ground within her arba amos. So why should it not be mugreshes? Don't we say that the arba amos of a woman are kona for her? We just said that in this very daf, in dafayin ches, we said that. So why would it not work? So it says Gemara, bidalonach, it never rested on the ground. It blew away or something. So it never rested on the ground within four amos of her. Tosus points out we could have given other answers also. Havamasi Lishuni Tosus says the Marishi Isha Medes B'chatzer Didei De Lesla Arba Amos. We could have said she's standing in his chatzer where she doesn't have Arba Amos to be kona for her. Ober Shusual Nuravashi Parakam B'mitzia or whatever. We could have gone like the Shita that Rosh Hashanah Dalin Amos doesn't work. But either way, there could have been other answers as well. But okay, we gave a good answer. So frankly, Gemara V'Tigarish Me Avirid Arba Amos. So it didn't land within her four amos, but it landed. But it certainly flew through the airspace of her Dalet Amos. So why isn't she Megreshes from the airspace of her Dalet Amos? So Tifshul Dabar Rav Lazar. So this should answer Rav Lazar's Shaila, that Arba Amos Sha'amu Yesh Len Avir or Ein Len Avir, Tifshul Dein Len Avir. No, Rav Lazar always asks the Shaila, when we say that Arba Amos of a person is Kona for them, does that include the Avir of the Arba Amos or not? Does it not include the airspace of the Arba Amos? Does it actually have to land on the ground within the Arba Amos? So shouldn't this be an answer by the fact that we say that she's not Megureshes when it falls off of her hand and doesn't land on the ground within her Arba Amos? Don't you see that the Avir of her Arba Amos is not Kona for her? Because this did go through the Avir of her Arba Amos. So it says, Marach Ma'eskin about Medes Al Gavanar Demei Karel Ibudkai. Now she's standing right by the side of a river, so it was always destined to be lost. The get was never in a place where it was Sofa Lanuach. Even if you say the Avir of your Arba Amos is Kona for you, that's only if it's Sofa Lanuach, if it was in a situation where it looked like it was going to land safely. But over here, she's right next to a river, it never looked like it was going to land safely. It was always in peril, and therefore, it's the Avir is certainly not going to be Kona for her. Okay, now we're up to today's Dafta. Says the Mishnah, Omedes al Rosh Hagag v'zarkula, if she was standing on top of a roof, and the husband threw the get to her, kiven shehigia l'avir hagag harei megureshes. As soon as the get crosses over into the airspace of the roof, she's megureshes. The get is going to be chal. Now Tosus points out that according to what Rav Oshia held previously, that even if she's in Tveria and her chatzar is in Sipori, or she's in Sipori and her chatzar is in Tveria, that it could work that the get is going to be chal, even if she's not anywhere near her chatzar. So over here, she doesn't actually have to be standing al Rosh Hagag. What we mean by Omedes al Rosh Hagag is that she's standing, that the gag is mishtameres midaita. Just means that the gag is protected, but she could be standing, physically standing anywhere. It doesn't have to be that she's Omedes al Rosh Hagag. But let's just keep that image in our minds because it's easier to follow that way. Point is, the gag is hers. And therefore, the get falling on the gag is going to affect a divorce. So the Mishnah's chiddush is that as soon as it enters the airspace of the gag, she's megureshes. What if the husband's on the roof and she's down below? Vizarkulani throws it to her, kiven sheyatsu mirshus hagag, nimchako nisraf, harezim greshes. Let's say he throws it off of the roof and it never lands on the ground where she's standing underneath. It goes out of the airspace of the roof and then it explodes. I don't know how, but something happens. It gets burnt up, it gets erased. Something happens to it just as it goes through the airspace over the chatzer below, it gets destroyed. Was she megureshes already? So says the Mishnah, yes. As soon as it goes out of the airspace of the roof, roof. When the husband's on the roof and she's down below, as soon as it goes out of the airspace of the roof, she's Megureshes. It is a little curious, and the Rishonim discuss why it is that the Nimchak Onisraf, which is the obvious Nafkamina, was only mentioned in the Seifa, not in the Reisha. I mean, Lechora, that's the case of the Reisha as well. I mean, why do we care whether she's Megureshes the moment it goes into the air, when she's on the roof? Why do we care that she's Megureshes the moment it goes into the airspace on the roof, and not a second later when it lands on the roof? Obviously, because something happened to it in between. It never quite landed. It went into the airspace, and it was nimchak o nisraf. Something happened where it didn't get a chance to land on the roof, or it got blown away, or something like that. But okay, that's definitely pashtus in the Mishnah that both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about. It went into the new airspace, never quite landed, got destroyed, and the Mishnah is saying she's megureshes when it goes into the airspace of the other rishus. So says the Gemara, frak the Gemara, v'halo mintar. How can you say that when it goes onto the roof, onto the airspace of the roof, she's megureshes? It's not protected yet if it's just flying through the air. No, the roof has a maka around it, so it is protected. It has a fence around it. So even though it's in the airspace, she's considered megureshes. No, we're talking about where it was in the airspace of the roof, but it wasn't way above the roof. It was only less than 3 tefachim above the roof. And any time you have less than 3 tefachim, it's considered as if it's resting on that location. It's the concept of lavud, that less than 3 tefachim is considered insignificant. It's considered as if it's closed off. So less than 3 tefachim above the roof is considered as if it's already munach, as if it's already resting on the roof. Obviously, a major nafkamina between the two answers. According to the first answer, it could be very high above the roof. Anywhere above the roof is going to be megureshes. According to the second answer, no, it has to really be close to the ground, within 10 inches of the ground or so, in order for it to be megureshes. Humi lamala, so if the husband is, then the Mishnah went on to say, okay, that's if she was above. What if the husband was standing above, she was standing below? So we said that as soon as the husband throws it out of the avir of the roof, she's megureshes. Again, frekling marvalo mintar, but it's not protected. Now the case is, it is protected, because he's throwing from a roof into a chatzer, and the chatzer's walls are taller than the mechitzos of the roof. So as soon as it goes out of the roof, it's enclosed by the walls of the chatzer. So Tosfos asks, wait a second, I don't understand. If the chatzer's walls are taller than the roof's walls, how are you going to get it over the chatzer's walls? How are you going to get it into the chatzer without throwing it higher than the walls of the chatzer? And if you throw it higher than the walls of the chatzer, as soon as it goes over the wall of the chatzer, she shouldn't be megureshes because it's above the walls. It's not mintar. It's not protected at that point in time. It would have to start its downward descent in order for it to be protected, and in order for the gerushin to work. So how can you say that as soon as it exits the avir of the roof, it's megureshes just because the walls of the chatzar are higher? You had to throw it over the roof. So Tosfos gives 3 terutzim over here. Tosfos says terutz number 1: v'yishlomer dekivin deshalosh mechitzos od v'oschashiv mishtamer vein lachosh mechitzos revius. The walls of the chatzar are higher than the walls of the roof on the three sides that the chatzar does not border the roof. But on the one side where the chatzar borders the roof, so the walls of the chatzar are not higher than the roof. Let's say the walls of the chatzar are lower. But it's still considered mishtameres because on three sides it's enclosed by very high walls. So you don't have to throw it over the wall of the chatzar to get it into the chatzar. You just throw it off the roof. You slide it right off the roof and it goes into the chatzar. And it's considered protected immediately because the other three walls are much higher. Second answer also says, Inami kishagag chatzar v'chatzar rach of harbe v'ot v'sam chitz gamber v'yis mitzad zeu k'neged amaka enu ki'im pesach v'yalma. Says also that another possibility is that the roof is narrow. Let's say the roof is, 10 feet wide. The chatzer, that side of the chatzer that the roof borders on, is 50 feet wide. And the chatzer is surrounded by very tall mechitzos all the way around except for those 10 feet. So you do have walls on all four sides of the chatzer with a 10-foot opening in those walls. That's just like a doorway in the middle of the wall. And that 10-foot opening is right by the roof. So you get some very similar answer except this answer accounts for how we can even have a wall on the fourth side of the chatzer and it would still work. So you flip it off the roof and it's already within the walls of the chatzer. Third answer, it also says, Inami, the Pashut answer, Kashagag Omid Be'emtza HaChatzer, V'lo Menatzad. The Gag is not, It's not that that the roof is adjacent to the chatzer. The roof is in the middle of the chatzer. There's a building in the chatzer. The guy is standing on a roof in that building. The chatzer borders the building on all four sides. And the chatzer has very tall walls around it. So as soon as you throw it off the roof, it is surrounded by the walls of the chatzer. You have to throw it over the walls of the chatzer. The walls of the chatzer are far away from you. You're right bordering on the chatzer. So that would be a case where it's considered mukaf, the chatzer is mukaf from all the sides, and it's going to be protected right away in the airspace of the chatzer.
I want to get the same question for the makkah. Also, the makkah's got to go above, and it's going to be a time where it's going to be above the gag, but under on top of the makkah.
Right, so I guess you'd have to say similar answers. Meaning, when I'm throwing to her, and she's on the roof, and it goes over the makkah, says Mishnah Meres, yeah, I guess you'd have to say the same thing. I guess so. That's right. But you have to come up with something over here, because otherwise, right, if it goes over, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. That's how Reb Elazar Amar Reb Oshia made the same ukimta, that the bottom walls are higher than the walls of the roof. Okay, Ulam Reb Yochanan concurs. This is obviously assuming, like the Shita of Rabbi, that klutu kamishon chadamia, that when something is flying over an area, it's considered as if it's resting in that area. Where does Rabbi say that? Regarding Shabbos, in Hilchos Shabbos, it says if you throw something on Shabbos from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, and there's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid Be'emsa, there's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid right in the middle, so Rabbi's Mechayev and the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say Yerpata. Rabbi's Mechayev, because he says that even as it's flying through the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's considered as if it's resting in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So it's as if you threw from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then again from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid into the Rosh Hashanah. So you're going to be Chayev. Amalei Afilu Teim Rabbanan. No, you could even say like the Rabbanan. Adkan Lopli Rabbanan Leid Rabbi Elin Shabbos. Avalach Mishum Inturi Uva Kaminter. The Rabbanan only disagree with Rabbi in regards to Shabbos. But over here, the issue is not that it be Munach, that it be resting. The issue is that it be protected. And over here, it is Taka protected. Meaning, as long as it's protected, it doesn't have to be resting. By Shabbos, what we're interested in is an Akira and a Hanacha. Over here, that's not our interest. There's no requirement of Hanacha by a get. There's a requirement of being protected. And you have that even if it's not actually resting. Again, with the idea that as long as the inner mechitzos are higher than the mechitzos of the mechitzos of the chatzar are higher than the mechitzos of the gag, we thought this is going like Rabbi who holds that klutu kamishon huncha, that it's as, even when something is flying through the air, it's as if it's resting. The same chilek, that's only Rabbi only said that regarding Hilchos Shabbos where you require anacha. Over here we're talking in Hilchos Gittin where anacha is unnecessary. All you really need is that it be protected. Nimchak. So the Mishnah said if it gets erased. So again, we're talking about the husband's on top of the roof. He throws the get off the roof. It leaves the airspace of the roof and then explodes. It gets erased somehow. So with the Mishnah said she's megreshes. That only works if it gets erased when it's on its way down. But if it got erased while it was on its way up, it doesn't work. Because it was never considered to be something that was destined to rest if it was never even on its descent. It has to be on its descent in order for it to be considered something that's sofa lenuach, and therefore only if it gets erased after it already began its initial descent, is it going to work? Nisraf. The idea that if it gets burnt, that she's going to be Megreshes, again, it gets burnt as it's on its way down, is only true if he threw the get before the fire came. But if there was a fire raging in the chaser and he literally threw the get into the fire, so that's not going to work. My taima may kardel l'sreifa kazel, because as soon as he threw it, he was throwing it into a fire. He was throwing it to get burnt. It was never destined to rest in peacefully in the chaser. So it's not going to be a good get. Amar Rav Chisda reshuyos chalukos begitin. So Rav Chisda is mechadesh that there's a concept called reshuyos chalukos begitin. What does that mean? So it's a concept we had before already. Rashi says in Mishila Bal Makom Bechatzero the Kabbalah's Gita Lo Ish Ilo Gago Obeso. If a husband lends his wife a place in his chatzer to acquire her get, he's only lending her that place in the chatzer. He's not lending her any other makom. He's not lending her his house, nor the gag, just the chatzer itself. Lomrin and low kapid. We don't say a guy is not makbid that once he's loaning her a place to receive her get, he's not makbid whether it be the gag, the bayis, the chatzar. No, we don't say such a thing. The trei makomus lo mushli mishum demaisi alarai masis nagalacha. The trei makomus lo mushli. Period. Because there, a person does not lend someone else two places unless they specify that they are doing so. When I tell you, you can have a place in my chatzar, you can have a place in my chatzar, you can have a place on my roof also. And if I tell you, you can have a place in my chatzar, and I throw the get on my roof, it's not going to work. The get's not going to be chal because I never gave you that location. So why are we mentioning this over here? So that's what Rashi points out. Mishum demaisi ala raya mimas nisin nakalahacha. We're mentioning this over here because we're going to bring a raya from our Mishnah regarding this issue. Amalei Rami bar Chama l'Rava minalei l'sabaha. Where do you know this from? Where do you know this idea that you that trei makomos lo mushli enshi, that we're not that one does not lend two places when he doesn't specify that he's doing so? Amalei mas nisini. It's our Mishnah. If she's on top of the gag and he throws it to her, so he said she's divorced as soon as the get goes into the airspace of the gag. What's the case? If everything belongs to her, the chatzer belongs to her, the gag belongs to her, why does it have to enter the airspace of the gag? It's her chatzer. As soon as it leaves his hands, she should be megreshes, because it's in her property. Ella begag didei v'chatzer didei. So what are you going to say? That we're talking about that he owns everything. It's his chatzer and his gag. But then, ki yigi al avir agag, my havi. Why does it help when it goes into the avir of the gag? She doesn't own that gag. Is she owns her hand, her basket maybe, so she can catch it, that would be fine. But short of that, it shouldn't be a good get. El pshita, so what's the case of our Mishnah? Begag dida v'chatzer didei. When will it matter whether it has gone over the airspace of the gag? Only if it's his chatzer, so prior to going over the airspace of the gag, she's definitely not megreshes, and it's her gag, so as soon as it enters the airspace of the gag, she is going to be megreshes. But I must say, for whom he lamal v'yim elamat v'zarkala, even she had some rishos of gag, nimcha k'nisra for his megreshes. But then, what does the Seifa say? The Seifa says that if he's on the roof and he throws it off the roof, as soon as it goes out of the airspace of the roof, she's Megreshes. But if we just made the Ukimta that the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's his chatzer and her gag, how do you explain that? That he's standing on her roof and he throws it off into his chatzer. As soon as it gets off the airspace of her roof, into his chatzer, it's going to be Megreshes. Why should she be Megreshes when it goes into his chatzer? Elo must be begag didei v'chatzer dida. Must be that it's his roof and her chatzer. But we just said the reisha is begag dida v'chatzer didei. Seifa begag didei v'chatzer dida. So the reisha is talking about a case where it's her roof and his chatzer, and the seifa flips it around just because we in the seifa we put him on top of the roof throwing it off. So we change whose roof and whose chatzer it is. We make it her chatzer and his roof now all of a sudden. Elalav the ushla makom. So it must be that what's the case in the Mishnah? Everything belongs to him, and he was mashil her a makom. Wherever that makom is, wherever she's standing, that's the makom that he was mashil her, that he lent her. And we have a chazaka, the chad makom mushlinshi, trei makom slo mushlinshi. Why does it need to get into the airspace of that makom? Why isn't it good enough as soon as it leaves his hand? Because when a person is mashil a makom in his property, he's only mashil that one makom. He's not mashil two distinct makomos, like a gag and a chatzer. So if he's in the chatzer and he was mashil her the gag, she's not going to be megreshes until it goes enters into the airspace of the gag. And the same if he's on the gag and she's in the chatzer. He's only mashil her the chatzer. He's not mashil her any part of the gag in that case. So Amalei, midi iria, dum lakadis, avakadis, avakadis. The Gemara says, nah, that's not a raya, that trei makomos lo mushli and she, because we can very easily say that the reisha of our Mishnah is talking about where it's her gag and his chatzer, and the seifa is talking about where it's her chatzer and his gag. So reisha v'gag dida v'chatzer dida, seifa v'gag dida v'chatzer dida. It's not such a big deal to change the case from the reisha to the seifa in that way. So it's not a clear raya at all that trei makomos lo mushli and she. Okay, Amarav, shalosh midos begitin. There are three distinct halachos that apply by Gittin that does not apply by other Isurim. And they are as follows. Number one, we just said, Hadam Rabbi Klutu Kamishon Chal Pligi Rabbanan Alei Hanimilin Shabbos of Halacha Mishum Inturi Huva Hamintar. Number one is what we just said before, that this machlokas, whether Klutu Kamishon Chadami or not, whether when something is floating through the airspace of a given Rishus, whether it's considered to be resting in that Rishus, is only a machlokas in Hilcha Shabbos, where what we require is a Hanacha. But when what you
you require, like by get, is that it be mishtameres, is that it be protected. So as long as it's protected, it doesn't, it's for sure going to be considered as if it's resting. You don't need it to actually rest. Everyone would agree with that. Number two, v'hadam Rav Chista na'at kana b'rishus hayachid. Rav Chista says if you stick a pole into Rishus Hayachid, Uberosha Traskal, and on top of that pole there's a platform, the Zarek V'Nachal Gabav, and you throw the get in, it lands on the platform that's on top of the pole, Afilu Gavoa Mea Amma, even if that platform is 100 Amos high, Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv V'Fisha Rishus Hayachid Ola Adla Rakiya. I mean, we're talking about it by Shabbos over here. If you throw something from Rishus Harabim onto the top of that platform that's on top of the pole, it's going to be Chayiv, because the Rishus Hayachid goes all the way up until Shemayim. Hani Milinian Shabbos. That's true when it comes to Shabbos. Aval hacha mishum inturehu v'halo minter. But over here by get, that wouldn't be good, because by get, we're only interested in protection, and the get is not protected all the way up there. Now there's machlokas rishonim. When we say that Rishus Hayachid is Allah the Rakia, there are two distinct types of Rishus Hayachid. There's a Rishus Hayachid that is a place that's surrounded by mechitzos, and then there's another type of Rishus Hayachid where you have an amud in a Rishus Rabim that's 10 tefachim high, and is 4x4 width and length. So that also, the top of that is the din of Rishus Hayachid as well. The idea of Rishus Hayachid Ola Ad L'Rakia is a machlokas rishonim, whether it applies to both types of Rishus Hayachid or only the first type of Rishus Hayachid. Rashi assumes it applies to both types. Ramban and Rashba, Masech Shabbos, assume that it only applies to type 1 Rishus Hayachid, where it's surrounded by four walls. But okay, either way, says Gemara, what's the third unique din by Gittin? V'hadam Ravidam Rishmo lo yamad adam begag zev yiklot megesham megago shel chavero, that a person should not go on his roof and pull water from his friend's roof onto his roof. Now, by the roofs, when you have attached houses, which is what we're assuming over here, what the roofs are not distinct from each other. It's one flat roof, so it looks like that it's all one rishus. But really, it's not, because down below the there are two residences, there are two homes that are just happens to be attached to each other. You're not supposed to pull water from your friend's roof onto your roof. So on Shabbos, we say that just like it's the residents are split down below, we view it as if they're split on top as well. And therefore, it's a violation of the Yisud Rabbanan of taking from one Rishus Hayachid to another Rishus Hayachid when you move water from your neighbor's end of the roof to your end of the roof. So, Hani Mililin and Shabbos, that's only true when it comes to Shabbos that it's considered a separate Rishus. Avilin get Mishum Kepedahu, but by get, it's all an issue of Kepeda. Is the person Makbid that this be considered two separate Rishus? V'kulei hai lo kapti inshi, and no one's really Makbid about that, and therefore, by get, it's not going to be a problem. Amrabai, shtei chatzer zu lufne mizu. If you have two chatzeros, one inside of the other, pnimah shelo v'chitzonah shelo, the inner chatzer belongs to her, and the outside chatzer belongs to him. Umechitzos hachitzonos odfos ala pnimios. The outer chatzer's walls are higher than the inner chatzer's walls. So again, she lives in the inner one. The outer chatzer's walls are higher than the walls that separate between her and his chatzer. Well, I shouldn't say that. Are higher than the inner chatzer's walls. Vizarkula, and he throws it to her. Kivan sheigila aver mechitzos hachitzonos harizim gurashas. If he throws it over the wall to her, it doesn't have to go down within the inner walls. As soon as it's down below the level of the outer walls, which are the walls to his chatzer, is she's going to be megureshes. My time, affecting Mara, why should that be so? Because pnimas gufa b'mechitzos hachitzonos kamintera. Because the inner chatzer is also protected by the outer walls. What stops animals from coming, or other things, winds from coming from outside? His walls, which are higher, actually serve to protect what's all the way inside as well. It serves to protect her as well. And therefore, even though it's only within the airspace of his walls, she's considered to be protected by his walls. Rashi says, Regilu l'shtamer hilkach meshubados hein la v'kanula. Those walls are meshubater. When she buys that inner chatzer, the man is not allowed to knock down those outer walls, because it's meshubater that she has that she's entitled to that protection. It's as if it's kanoi to her. So Tosafot over here says, very similar to a discussion in Maseches Basra in the first parak by the sugya of Makif and Nikif. Can't get into the whole sugya now, but if you look there, you'll find a very similar discussion. Tosafot over here says that the walls that we're talking about are not walls that are on the walls surrounding the outside chatzer. These are actually walls between the inner and outside chatzer. It's like when you have a neighbor sometimes bordering your backyard. So sometimes each neighbor puts up their own fence. I mean, in my backyard, we have a junky little fence that divides from my yard and the neighbor's yard. And the neighbor apparently wasn't satisfied with that fence and built a, before I moved in, I don't know, whoever, and built a large, big fence that can that's a much nicer fence. So there are two fences that are back to back with each other. So it says that's the case over here. We're not talking about the mechitzos achitzonos are distant from the chatzar apnimis. No, when we talk about the mechitzos of the outer one, we mean the mechitzos that are right between the outer one and the inner one. That's what Tosfos says. Marik shemechitzos achitzonos mafsikos bein chitzonos apnimis. The aim of sikos, because if they're not dividing between the inner and outer chatzar, kshegia get laavir apnimis lenichlos talk mechitzos amem greshes. Because otherwise, why would it be that she's megreshes when it goes into the mechitzos achitzonos? Granted, it's protected from going outside of the chatzeros entirely, but what's protecting it from going back into his chatzer? There's nothing that's stopping it from going back into his chatzer. So the only way it can actually be considered megreshes is if there's something that's protecting it from going back into his chatzer, which would mean that the walls are dividing between the two chatzeros. The Ritva says no. The mechitzos achitzonos are surrounding the outer chatzer. What's protecting it from going out into his chatzer? The fact that his outer walls are so high stops winds from coming through this area. And therefore, if it's right now above the airspace of the inner chatzer, there's nothing that's going to blow it away. Nothing's going to make it go back into the outer chatzer. In that way, it protects it. Those outer walls protect it from going back into the outer chatzer. We have to say something, because the get can't just be protected. It has to be protected from going back into his chatzer. So, Masha'en came to kupos. This halacha does not apply when you have two boxes. Shtei kupos zu betoch zu. If you have two boxes, one inside of another, pnimis shalo v'chitzonos shalo, the inner box belongs to her. The outer one belongs to him. V'zarkula, and he throws it, the get, into her box. Even when it gets into the avir of the inner box, she's not going to be divorced. My time, why? The halo nach, because it never rested. Meaning the point is that by a box, you need an actual hanacha. The avir of a box is not kona something for you. We don't have time to go into it now, but Tosfos points out that this is against the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that when you do yayin nesach, when one pours yayin l'shem Avodah Zarah, as soon as it gets into the avir of the kli has already been kona it, but it doesn't become yayin nesach until it rests in the bottom of the kli. So you see that apparently, according to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, a kli can be kona with its avir. Okay, there are a number of answers, some sofer, Yer Shirachim, whatever, but the point is over here, we're assuming apparently that the avir of a kli is not kona. V'chinach mayhavi, frak the Gemara, even if it does rest in the kli, why should it be kona? Kelev shalokeach b'rishos mocheru. After all, the inner kli is inside of the outer kli, so isn't this a case of kelev shalokeach b'rishos mocher? Because the woman's kli is resting in the husband's kli. And we know that kelev shalokech b'rishus mocher is at least a machlokas, so how can we say as a davar pashut that if it rests in her kli, which is sitting inside of his kli, that it's necessarily megureshes? So says Mar Hachamayas Kinnun b'kupa she'in l'shulayim. No, we're talking about a case of the outer box doesn't have a bottom to it. It's just four walls. So her kli is not resting inside of his kli, because there is no bottom to his kli that it's resting on. And therefore, it's not a case of kelev shalokeach b'rishus mocher. Okay, Mr. Shem, later tonight when I give the daf, we'll catch up. I'll get it all the way to the Mishnah and Pe'al from an Aleph.